Hello and welcome to Couch Church. I'm Reverend Kathy Ridd, and this is our reflection for Palm Sunday. Our reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. As Anglicans, we are fairly restrained most of the time. But on Palm Sunday, we have been known in our parish to let rip. In the past, we have had Palm Sundays in our churches in Ballina and Lennox Head when we processed the gospel around the church while we shook noisy instruments to make a racket. We've even been known to blast an air horn. Palm Sunday is an important moment, a highlight that marks the beginning of Holy Week, with the entry of King Jesus into Jerusalem. And in our services in the past, we did our best to recreate that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem with lots of noise. We tried, but in our culture, we really don't have a practice of celebrating and greeting someone important with shouts and dancing and waving branches. Actually, I had assumed this was probably just an ancient practice, something that had long since died out, until I visited Uganda a few years ago. I was travelling there with a small team from World Vision, and we were there to announce the building of new hospitals in a number of villages. And the people of those villages were overjoyed to greet us. We were bringing something, news of a new hospital that was going to transform their lives. It was an incredible experience. The noise was deafening. We were surrounded. I've never experienced anything like it, and it gave me a tiny glimpse into what it might have been like for Jesus on Palm Sunday. I have to tell you, it felt a bit weird to be hailed as a hero, a saviour, by those people. I think our little team were very unexpected heroes. And today on Palm Sunday, I think it's most important for us to remember that saviours don't always look the way we expect. And when it came to Jesus, well, that saviour didn't come to transform the people's lives in the way they expected. He was a most unexpected kind of saviour. I want to put this into a kind of parable. There was once a town, just an ordinary town, called Ballina. The people went to work. They played bowls and golf. They loved to gather together in coffee shops and clubs and churches. Now, it happened that this town was attacked by a dreadful disease. To protect themselves and each other, the people changed the way they lived. They stopped gathering together as much. They wore face masks. The people were frightened and anxious about this disease. Time went on and the disease kept changing its form. Every time the people thought it had gone away, it came back again. The disease had the power to make the people frightened. Now, at that time, there was a young man called Joshua. Word began to spread about young Joshua, first in his hometown and then all around the country. He was a young man who got people's attention, and he seemed to have very special powers. Word spread that Joshua was on his way to Ballina. And as word spread, people began to say, Joshua is coming to town with the cure for the disease. So when Joshua arrived at the edge of the town, the people went wild. He's here. He's going to hand out the cure. The disease will be gone. He's come to save us from the disease. And they began to gather at the edge of town in a great crowd. They were sure that Joshua was coming to save them. He had the cure for the disease, and he was going to hand it out to everyone. The people ran beside him all the way into town. They shouted and they sang and they danced and cried with relief and joy. The disease was going to be wiped out, kicked out of town. But then the people of Ballina discovered that this was not what Joshua was going to do at all. Well, people of Ballina listening to this and people from beyond, how do you feel about young Joshua now? He isn't going to do what you expected. He isn't going to do the thing you believe you need most to save you. He isn't going to kick the disease out of town. How do you feel about Joshua now? Well, when young Joshua didn't do as the people wanted, they turned on him. They rejected him. They abandoned him. That's how it was on the day that the young man Joshua came into town. Joshua, whose name in Greek is Jesus. He came to rescue the people, but it wasn't in the way that the people were expecting. Everyone expected Jesus had come to save them from the problem that was right in front of them, like the disease in our story. They expected Jesus to save them from the Romans. But God's rescue plan is something so much bigger than that. It was such a big rescue plan that it wasn't until the other side of Easter that the disciples started to understand it. Jesus doesn't come to save us from the Romans or from whatever disaster is happening at any particular point in time. Jesus has a different perspective. Jesus comes to save us from ourselves. And that means that Jesus doesn't come and sort things out the way we want him to. We are not in control, even when we kid ourselves that we are. You might think that you know what you need to transform your life, but Jesus sees things differently. So, can you let Jesus transform your life, not the way you tell him to, but the way he knows is best for you? Are you ready to get behind Jesus and follow him? Because our King Jesus is so worth following. He is here to transform you, but it will be in ways that you don't expect. He is here to save you, but it will be in ways that you don't expect. Just listen as I end with a poem by Michael Gerling about our unexpected King, who comes to rescue us in unexpected ways. What kind of king rides on a donkey? A donkey that might be borrowed or might be hijacked. What kind of king builds a castle with a wide open door for children to enter, but a needle-eye-sized hole for the rich? What kind of king rides on a donkey into the city where his assassins are waiting? What kind of king enters his assassin's city with a ragtag commotion for all to see and not one security guard? What kind of king doesn't come with a single sword or weapon? What kind of king can sit at the dinner table with his subjects and be subject to them and wash their feet? What kind of king can die so that his assassins can live? What kind of king are you? A king I can trust. A king who keeps his promises. A king I want to follow. So let me follow you, King Jesus, all the way to Golgotha. Let me walk with you to the cross. And all along this long, rough road, let my song be, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.